Today, I believe we are going to start a sermon series that is so weighty and so important. In the month of April, we are going to enter a time where we speak about being in the world, but not being of it, right? Let me get my clicker. All right, so can I have my slide up? Yeah, that's right. Sorry. Right, so in but not of. Right, and today we are going to speak from being different. All right, and Jesus was in the world in every way. He was at weddings. He was invited to weddings. He went for weddings. He was in the synagogues. He was in the market squares, the villages, funeral of Lazarus, and homes as well. But so are we. We are in the social media platform. How many of you do not have a social media platform? Can you raise your hand? Alright, we got one person. Alright, okay, wonderful. Right, but most of us have a CCA, even if we don't have social media, right? We are in schools. And even if we are in homeschool, right, then we probably have some form of online game that we are on, right? We probably have friendship communities, or even in church, right? We are very much in today's world. But Jesus said, right, if we can have the slide up, in John chapter 15, verse 19. Shall we read this all together? All right. Can we all read together? Yes, right. Okay, 1, 2, 3. If you long to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Wow. Strong words. Jesus says that if we are his disciples, the world will naturally hate us. In James chapter 4, verse 4, right, James, the brother of Jesus, exhorts us, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." We are confronted today with the fact that the world has so much influence. You see it on your favorite shows. You see it on your Instagram accounts, on your TikTok accounts. You see it in school, where so much of the world's culture is pervasive. But Jesus calls us to be the light, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." When we have Jesus in our hearts, we have the power to be different. Amen? Amen. Right? So Jesus said this before he went on the cross in John chapter 17. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world," we are meant to be in it, "but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it." That was Jesus' prayer for all his disciples, and I think it's time for us to pray. Shall we close our eyes and bow our heads? Father, today, we come to a point where it is a dark world. Things are not going well for our faith. For some of us, we are struggling. For others of us, we might be overcoming, but trials are on our way. But Lord, you said in your prayer in John 17 that you will protect us. You also say in other parts of scripture, "Take heart, for I have overcome the world." So Lord, you have the keys to victory. And today, as we enter this time of your word, Lord, may we let it resonate in our hearts that you be magnified in our lives. And all God's people say, amen. All right. So, I might not have mentioned it, but this week I'm going to be speaking about being different. We are called to be different. If we are not different from our friends who are not here, then there is no difference and there is no saltiness, there is no light in us, and we are good for nothing. Right? We are called to be Christ's disciples. There has got to be a defining difference between us and the rest of the world. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Right, the second sermon Likely Pastor Tina will bring us through a journey of how we can make a difference. Okay, I hope I'm not misrepresenting that. Right? But last but not least, during our baptism service, Pastor Titus will bring us through what it means to be a different community. So let's dive straight in to today's message. Right, in Daniel, right, we enter a dark world. Right, Israel is in deep sin. And King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the world power of that time, conquers the whole of Israel, right, and proceeds to ransack the holy temple for his precious items in verse 2. Right, and then he takes captive all of the young people. Okay, how many of you are under the age of 25? Alright, that's right. Okay, how many of you are under the age of 35? Hopefully everyone can raise their hands. Okay, right. Young people, there is such an important role, such an important destiny for you, right? In my secondary school, on the wall, it says, remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Okay, so important. The young people are captured and they are subject to 3 years of being taught the literature and language of the land in verse 4, right? I don't know whether you all know this. I actually tried to do it like Star Wars, you know. So it's like the intro, then you all can see in the middle, but I couldn't find the Star Wars font. Alright, next, after they were taught, they are given food that was on the king's table and wine to drink. And lastly, their names were changed. Now I know some of you are saying, Pastor Sam, what's wrong? What's so difficult about this, you know? If Malaysia conquers us today, right, and they make us have good food, wow, from the Sultan's table, wouldn't it be great? Right, you might be thinking, what's so wrong about learning about Malaysia's history and what's so wrong about giving maybe a Malay name to us, right? Maybe my name will be Abdul, right? I don't know. But let's look and see what the implications were. First and foremost, right, the Babylonian Empire strikes. They take the precious items in the temple of God as spoils of war. Your God is powerless. He can't even protect his own temple. That's the messaging that King Nebuchadnezzar is saying. That I, as the world power, can just walk into your temple and take away anything that I want. That is the significance. And not just that. He wants to look as if he's even more powerful than God. If you read the book of Daniel, you'll find out that God humbles him eventually, turning him into a beast. But that's for another season, okay? The second point, right? King Nebuchadnezzar took the young people. The young people are the ones in danger of forgetting their heritage. For us in Singapore, if I were to suddenly start to educate all of us, right, in the ways of another country or another nation, we are the most likely to forget how Singapore was. Young people, I want to say this. You guys have such a destiny in the inheritance of those who have walked before you. King Nebuchadnezzar attacked the young people. He wanted the young people to come to his side because he knew the old would pass on. He knew the old were too stubborn in their own ways. They were too deeply entrenched in their faith, likely. So he took the young ones who did not have much experience. Right? Can we have the slide back up for point number 2? Right? He wanted to cause Israel to lose its values. They were founded on a belief that they were God worshippers. Right? Some of you, right, might have heard in Leviticus that God called his people a holy nation and they were meant to be a sign to all the nations. They were meant to be worshippers of God as the founding identity. But King Nebuchadnezzar was going to change all of that with the teaching. And that's the next slide. Right, with his teaching in education, right? Nelson Mandela, one of one of the most influential politicians of his time, said education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world, which you can use to change minds. And King Nebuchadnezzar, that represents the world, knew that. But it depends on what you teach. King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to rewrite the Israelites' worldview that God was their king, right? Israel knew that God was their king. They had just fallen away. But King Nebuchadnezzar did not just want them to fall away, he wanted them to forget entirely that there was a king that was their God. Using textbooks and teachings, right, he exalted himself, his conquests such that his propaganda would become the only thing the young people would know. Now, some of you might think, well, in that case, then maybe Daniel didn't do well in his studies. Well, actually, Daniel excelled in his education, and you'll see that, I think, in verse 19, right? He never allowed his biblical worldview to be changed. He might have had a new earthly king, but his king in heaven remained the same. More importantly, his God remained the same. Right? I want you guys to just turn to your neighbor, to your left and right. What is your favorite subject of study in school today? Right? Is it math, science, sociology? Right? I know Ben Chua, if you were here, sociology. Right? Some of you, biology. Some of you, chemistry. Alright? Okay lah, shouldn't take too long, right? Unless you all hate school so much. So today I heard a story from Timothy Loh. Is Tim Loh here today? Timothy Loh, yes, you're here. Alright, everyone give a round of applause to Tim. Alright, he was here today, 8:45 at Queensway Secondary to serve in Boys Brigade. Alright, he told me this story about a physicist, right? Okay, so a teacher asked the class, right, what can you identify with this cake? I'm sorry if I butcher your story, Tim, wherever you are. Right? And someone who was interested in physics came up and he said, well, you can tell from the physics of this cake, this is what it looks like, this is how much effort, the force or whatever, right? The chemist came up and said, these are the chemicals that were used to make this cake, right? The food coloring and everything, right? But you know what? At the end of the day, what really mattered, right, was what the creator of the cake meant the cake to be, right? And that was the teacher's daughter who had done that cake for the teacher's birthday, right? So we might study many things, but all of this is just to explain the world that God has made. There are many ways to explain it. Sociology, the way society plays out. Psychology, the way that we as individuals play out. Right? Biology, how God created us. Right? History, how God let the world unfold. Daniel did excellently, yet what he was excellent in never became his idol, nor the success in itself. Right? We should do excellently, but has the pursuit of studies become our idea of success? Has our area of study become our idol? Right? Some of us have begun to believe more in our area of study than even God's word. Right? Something that I hear very often nowadays is, Pastor Sam, aside from God's word, how can we tell that so and so and so? That is so dangerous because our main authority comes from, yeah, amen, right? It comes from God's word. Right, Romans 12 verse 2 says this, right? So if you are taking down your notes, please write this down. You don't need to write the whole verse because you can just write down the verse, right? But do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, perfect, and good, pleasing, and perfect will, right? Now, what are you using to renew your mind today? Are you using articles on Facebook or are you reading the word to renew your mind? Okay. Second, the king ordered that all the young people had to change their diet. Right? One of a very famous quotes, right, that you all know, you are what you eat. Now it was a very dangerous time because Daniel was given food that was likely to be offered up to idols. For him to eat it means that that representation would mean that he's relying on the king. It represented fellowship with the king, right? It is a privilege. The king is giving him something directly from his table. If he were to take it, it would mean that he supports this kingship, right? And integration into the Babylonian culture, right? At the end of 10 days, so Daniel says, right, let me eat only this diet of vegetables and water, right, and fruits. And at the end of the 10 days, it was seen that Daniel and his friends were better in appearance and fatter in flesh. Okay, I didn't ever notice the fatter part. Okay, they're all the youths who ate the king's food. Verse 15. Right? Daniel refused the food of the land because he refused to defile himself spiritually. Now, what diet are you having today? Of course, we're not just talking about food. Okay, right? For Daniel to fit in, he was required to eat what the king of the land told him to eat. Right? I want you guys to turn to your neighbor again, okay? What have you been feeding yourself with because the land has provided you with it? And does it lead you to defiling yourself? Right? Okay, turn to your neighbor and you can share. Right? When I say what are you feeding yourself, I mean specifically, right? What are you spending most of your time, your free time doing? Are you playing a lot of games? Right? Are you watching a lot of shows? Are you hanging out a lot with your friends? Are you drinking a lot? Right? Okay. Whatever. Okay, yeah, turn to your neighbor and you just can share, okay? Just share. Also, while everyone in the auditorium is sharing, I want to give a shout out to JPI segment who is at home. Thank you so much. Yeah, I pray that you are also engaged and also discussing this in your breakout rooms later. Right, what are you engaged in? What are you feeding yourself? Someone once came to me and said they struggle with lust. And I said, what are you spending your nights watching? That person said Game of Thrones. Right? Obviously, that's not going to help you. Right? Shows that show nudity, shows that glamorize riches, right? Games that obviously are ungodly, right? Things that have to do with witchcraft, things that make you impure, things that cause you to be more violent. Guys, be so sure of what you're feeding yourself, right? What you feed is what will grow in you, right? If you feed your lust, it will grow. If you feed your need for body image, it will grow. Don't feed yourself with the wrong things, but feed yourself on the godly things, okay? Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 says, think about things that are true, noble, pure, right, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 12 says, all things are permitted for me, but not all things are of benefit. All things are permitted. Everything is allowed, so long as it is not sin. But I will not be mastered by anything. Guys, if today I were to ask you to let go of what is feeding you as a diet in your life today, and you struggle to give it up, guess what, guys? That is your master, not Jesus. Right? If you are not able to surrender that thing to follow Jesus, then that thing is your God. Make sure that whatever you have, you hold in your palm, the palm of your hand, very loosely. You guys hear all the pastors come on stage and always pray, guys, let's surrender. And you know, for some of us, we experience it very difficult to surrender. The reason is because at the very beginning of it, we did not surrender it when it was easy to surrender. Cut it off as fast as you can, because you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And look at that. You are not your own. Everyone say, I am not my own. Right, this is such an important worldview to have. If you believe that you are your own, then all your decisions and everything you do, you are God. You can decide. But if you are not of your own, then you are choosing to follow God's will. And therefore, you are not your own and you are God's. If you want to belong to God, it requires you to let go of yourself. Alright? Lastly, the king changed the identities. Or rather, he got the chief eunuch. I think his name is Ashpenaz. Okay, but I don't know whether I'm pronouncing that wrongly. To change the identities. And look at that. Very subtle, right? From Daniel to Belteshazzar. Wow, what a glamorous name. But look what it means. From Daniel, which means God is my judge, changed it to Bel's prince. Okay, and I don't mean like, you know, if any of you are called Bel, okay, it's like your prince charming. No, Bel is a Babylonian god. Okay? Hananiah, which means beloved by God, is changed to Shadrach, which means illuminated by the sun god. Right, Mishael, which means who is like God, right? An exaltation of who God is changed to Meshach, which means who is like Shach, and that's a Babylonian goddess. Azariah, the Lord is my help, changed to Abednego, right, which means the servant of Nego, a Babylonian god. Where we find our identity is whom we worship. If you find your identity as a student as your first priority, not a son of God, not a disciple, not a worshipper of God, then you're going to find that that is what you're worshipping. You're worshipping your studies. Now, is there anything wrong with studying? No, of course not, right? But when that takes the precedence over being a disciple of Christ, then something is deeply wrong. When you find your identity in your friendships, right, and you call yourself maybe a friend of Amanda Joy because she leads worship so well, right, then you are worshipping Amanda Joy, not even the worship leading. You are worshipping the friend. Guys, change your identity. Return back to your original identity to be a follower of Christ. Right? Identity has to do with whom you worship. You are a servant of God because the God you worship is a master. You are a son because you worship a father. Alright? Daniel and his friends were forced to have their names changed to glorify the foreign gods of the land. Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to forget worshipping God, Yahweh. So Daniel stayed true to who he really was, even when the world told him who he was supposed to be. The name that was given to him gave an expectation, right, to change his values, but it never succeeded. We all know that Daniel outlasted six kings. Wow, he's the perfect civil servant. Right? He's number two to the king for six of the kings, right? He would even disobey his earthly king, who told him that he could no longer pray to his God, and he would continue to pray in Daniel chapter 6. Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor and share, what has the world tried to name you, right? So for me, I mean, I'm going to share a story about this, right? As a recruit in NS, in BMT in Pulau Tekong, right? But what has the world told you that you have to be? Do you have to be popular, right? Do you have to be of a certain body shape, right? Do you have to be cool in the way that the world defines you? Let's all turn to our neighbors and start to share, what is the world's expectation of you? What has the world tried to identify you as? Okay, so let's turn to our neighbor and let's just share. All right, let's go. Right, has the world labeled you, you know? You're a triple science kid. You gotta study science for the rest of your life, right? Or are you defined by your race? Wow. Right? What is the label that society has given to you? Right? Can I just get a show of hands? Where is secondary segment? Secondary segment. Oh, okay, so you're all at the bottom. Oh, and some at the top. Where is campus segment? Oh, okay. Oh, is everyone so split up? Okay, cool, cool, cool. All right, cool, 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 cool. Okay, we can round down our discussion. Shall we go back to the slide? Okay. So, when I went to BMT, right? I mean, I don't have any agenda against SAF, okay? Or I try not to have, right? But, you know, when you go into army, there's a very clear messaging. First thing, shave your hair. Everyone is equal, right? Number two, everyone wears the same uniform. The only thing that defines you, that differentiates you, is the name tag that you have, right? Some of the guys don't even have, like, very nice names to read out, alright? And they will make us do the training all together, right? And so, that's what they expect of you, that you are fully focused, your phones are all in the lockers, right? Everything that you have. Now, okay, I'm not saying that you cannot be excellent in the place of army. In fact, that is my very point, that in a place of darkness, it is important to know who you are and who God is, right? So, when I went there, I realized that we had to carry this, I think 40 kg, maybe all the army guys who are now just gone through BMT, you can correct me, few pack. And I have to walk 12 km, right? And then after that, we have to do a shell scrape, and then we have to do a 4-hour, I think, what's this called? Oh my goodness, proning? No, I don't know what it's called, but yeah, facing your gun in some direction, pretending that the enemy is coming. And, you know, when I was there, I was reminded by one of the leaders of the past, Benny, right? Benny C. Right? He told me, bring something that reminds you that you are a follower of Christ. So I brought my Fairfield Bible. And I was like regretting it every moment because it was an extra burden in my bag, right? I was carrying it, oh my goodness. But you know, as I was reading James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the one who stands under trial and perseveres, for he will be rewarded with the crown of life. And it was, the moon was there. I mean, I know some of you guys have heard this story, right? Right there, I knew that my status or my identity as a disciple of Christ transcended even being a recruit. Now, you might think, a recruit, you don't have any rights. That's what they try to tell you. But at that moment, I knew that I had the right to love someone else. I knew I had the right to raise my hand and say, I can help you. Not being wayang, okay? I mean, I'm super not wayang. Yeah. But you have the right to be a disciple of Christ. Do you understand that? As a student, you have the right to be a disciple of Christ as your first identity. As someone who works outside in the marketplace on internship, I know how many of you in, oh yeah, JPI is all away, but how many of you in poly are on internship now? Okay, I know Brian's on internship. Anyone else on internship? No one, right? But internship is another time where are you defined by the role as an intern? Or does your identity as a son of God or disciple of God, that you can transcend it, you can love other people? It might not be the culture of that land, of that company, but you're still able to still love people and be radical in your faith. I want us to think about that. Okay? So I shared three things that King Nebuchadnezzar said. Number one, he wanted to change the education. Number two, he changed the food source, the diet. Number three, he changed the identity. And right now, I want us to all take a pause, okay? Before we enter episode two. All right, take a pause. How much has the world changed you? How much has the world changed you? How much have you gone onto social media and posted a picture that you knew was not glorifying to God? How many of you are convicted at this moment and realize, oh, I should not have said this to my sister. I should not have said this to my classmate. I want us to take a moment to breathe. Okay? Lord, will you come and speak to our hearts, Lord? Being different in such a dark time is such a difficult thing. But Lord, we are called to be salt and light. We are called to be different. Help us in Jesus' name. Everyone say, amen. Amen. Episode 2, right? You don't have to read the fine words because later on that will be the bigger font. The world tells us, trust your own heart. Do what you wish, right? Experience your experiences. You yourself are God. There is no need to place a being above yourself. There is no need to trust anybody, right? Because you are the king. You know best. You are the God, right? It leads to an increasingly self-serving mentality, right? Outside of my former school, I won't say what school it is, it says, find your experience. Wow. It looks so deceptively innocent, but it is secretly telling you that you can make a choice over your life. Now, a disciple of Christ will tell you that's very different. They lead a laid down life. Christ be magnified in every decision. Even in the school that they choose, God, do you have a preference? And if God has preference, right? One of the kids that I've discipled before once asked me, do you think it's wrong for me to take a school that is not as prestigious because God called me to reach out to this particular school that is nearer to my house? Guys, being a disciple of Christ is difficult because it makes difficult decisions. It means that the things that the world values, the prestige of your schools, the things that you study, the places that you go, the friends that you make, become very different. Alright? This is the thought process that the world brings us through. Make decisions without any evidence of God. Letting the world determine the diet, identity, and education of your life. It grows to want more and more control over you. Right? When crisis hits and reveals that we do not have the control, then fear starts to seep in and anxiety comes in. negativity, hostility, and anti-emotions, anti-authority, anti-family, anti-friends sometimes, right, start to come in because there is so much of that need for control. The world feeds on it and makes us addicted, needing more and more of it, right? And in the throne room of your heart, slowly, God is pushed out and there's only the self. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 6, 26, sorry, it says, "What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" Guys, do not go into this self-serving mentality. It is so common in our generation. And I say our generation because hopefully I'm not that old yet. But in our generation, they tell you, you can make a decision on your own, man. Yeah, why do you need to have your faith be a part of your decision? Everything is secular. Is that true? Is that your biblical worldview? Right? You don't know me. You don't know my struggle. This is my life. This is my rules. This is not fair. Yeah, I know this already. Don't tell me what I already know. Why is God so boring? Why can't I do this? God, just remove this difficult situation from me, lah. Right? I'm only going to do this one more time. Guys, in humility, I want to tell you that I'm guilty of at least more than half of these statements myself. But I want to ask all of us today to check our hearts. Who is God, as we say and utter? Maybe we don't even say it out loud, but we think about it in our minds. It's not fair that that person gets to get a better grade even though I didn't study. But is that because we value what the world values? Who is the God here? Right? When you say, this is my life, my rules, I get to decide what to eat, what to drink, what to wear, are we doing it in worship to God anymore? Right? The Bible verses, whatever you do, whether you drink or you eat, do it for the glory of God. Are we really doing that for the glory of God, or are we doing it for our personal gain? Right? And I'm very convicted about this. Right? Just share a very personal story, but it's a super lame story. I think it might not really show God a lot. But recently, God convicted me of wanting control over my food cravings. Right? So, all of our marriage life, I will always decide what Gloria and I will eat for dinner. And recently, God asked me, can I let go of that control? And I tell you, you can ask Gloria, I struggled when she tell me wonton mee. I feel, right? And on her birthday, I brought her to Afterglow. Okay, I think only those of you, yeah, it's all vegetables. And I just, oh, it's so difficult. But I'm eating the kimchi nori roll that she's eating, which might sound nice to you guys. Right? But I really struggled. But I realized, wow, I'm really choosing my food. And in that, it reveals a bigger thing. I'm making a lot of decisions in my life apart from God. Do we really believe that apart from God, we can do nothing? Do we really believe that? Right? When we say we worship an audience of one, right? Do you all know this phrase? Right? We all worship an audience of one, right? Worship means confirmed see before, right? Right? The audience of one is of course God, lah. We're not performing for one another. But you know what's the dangerous thing? Sometimes we think that we are the audience critiquing God. God, why you never do this? God, why do you? Who is God? Who is God? We need to have a very strong worldview. Daniel in the Bible was on exile. He was taken away from his family. So many things. He no longer had his church. Jerusalem was far away. He was in Babylon. All of these things were taken away from him. And not once do you see him question his faith. Not once do you see him question his exile. He proceeds to go on worshipping God in everything he does. It begins with whom we worship. Amen? Right, I think worship means really must amen the most, you know. Right? A worshipper of God in a dark world. It begins with whom we worship. Whom you worship determines what you believe and how you live. Right? Daniel was so sure who God was. It wasn't King Nebuchadnezzar. It wasn't he himself. He could have been salty, upset, angry that Israel was in exile, but no. He knew that God was fair. He knew that in the end time, that all things would be set right. He could see that God was someone he could trust. Right? He knew that he was all-knowing. In Christianity, So earlier, that side, right? Now we reverse it. In Christianity, we trust that there is a God and King who knows all, more than us, infinitely more than we can know, created all, and so the greatest wisdom is to submit to Him. There is a growth of selflessness at every point. In every decision that we make, we are asking God, where can we go? How can we bless others? In every single step, there is a step of faith. Why? Because that trust, in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that is something that they cannot see, and we make that step in that direction. That trust is faith. Right? Two things, and if you all are writing down your notes, these two points are so important. Daniel trusted. It can seem like a very simple thing, but if I took away all the luxury of your homeland, when I was in Perth away from Singapore, I was struggling so hard. Right, and that was Perth. Right, I went to Nepal. I had a stomach ache there. Right, there was no toilet paper. Right, Daniel had that every single day of his life from that moment on. But he trusted God in spite of exile and in spite of a God-canceling world. Does that sound familiar to you? Because today, that is what is happening. Right, you are no longer popular for posting an opinion that might come from your faith. Isn't that scary? Right, number two, Daniel knew who he was, that he was a worshipper of the Lord God of heaven, and that was reflected in his choices, in how he made a decision for his diet. That was how he decided to be undefiled in everything he did. In his staying true to God, oh, the true is the wrong true, T-R-U-E. Being on the throne, not man, not himself, nor King Nebuchadnezzar. Right? I just want us to take a second to just look at this. Right? Let's take a look at this. Okay. Right, I'll be sending out the slides to your cell leaders, so if you guys need more time, right, you all can take a look there. Right? But a not of this world disciple. Oh, do you all need the slide again? Okay, I can see some people taking photo. Okay, take photo. Alright. A not of this world disciple trusts and worships beyond the songs, right? In spite of the world. Who we think we are and who is God in the throne room of our hearts. Okay. If you all have your Bibles, you all can turn to Philippians chapter 1, right? Verse 16. Now this is who we are. Paul speaks to all the disciples in Philippi. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to an example. Why? Because many have fallen away. Verse 18. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Now you might think, wow, so scary. Why got enemies? But look at how simply deceptive it is. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. Right? Of course, this doesn't mean that they are very fat. Okay? When they say the God is their belly, it is their own carnal, fleshly desires leading them. The God of them, their God is not the Lord God Almighty. Their God is they themselves. The self. Right? And they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him to even subject all things to Himself. And in Peter it says that we are temporary residents and foreigners. Do you catch that? We are citizens of heaven. We are only temporary residents and foreigners of this world. Right? And even more specific, our bodies are meant to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's who we are. We are citizens of heaven, temporary residents on earth, awaiting our Savior, worshippers of God, not of our own. I want to end off with this quote and then a story. All right, can we have the worship team come up? Right. Soren Kierkegaard says this, and I don't exactly subscribe to everything, every single sentence that he's saying here, but let's take a look. A king's existence is demonstrated by way of the subjects and the submissiveness. Do you want to try and demonstrate that the king exists by offering a string of proofs? Oh, many of you know Prince Philip passed on, right? Do you all know that? Yeah, okay. Your current affairs, yeah? But, wow, can you imagine when Queen Elizabeth dies? Wow, then would it be a string of proofs that would prove that she was the queen? No! If you are serious, you demonstrate the king's existence by your submission in that kingdom, by the way you live. And so it is with demonstrating God's existence. It is accomplished not by proofs, but by our acts of worship. Any other way is but a thinker's pious bungling. Do you catch that? If we are to be different in this world, we need to worship God and decide today. Do we worship God like half the time? Or do we worship God full stop? I know many of you might not have even been born, which makes me quite scared because it means I'm really getting old. But in 2002, there was a really, really powerful movie called Infernal Affairs. And there are two individuals that are sent undercover. One from the gang, the mafia, sent into the police force. The other from the police force sent into the mafia to be undercover. And they don't know each other. Right? And in that moment, one moment that strikes out to me. So the one who is a mafia in the police, his name is, Andy Lau, okay, this guy. Andy Lau gets a call from the mafia boss. He's doing very well in the police force. He has leaked out all the information into the gangster world, and somehow he has not gotten caught yet. A very crazy moment happens when his boss in the mafia calls him at his police desk. When he calls, he gets a call. He flips his police identification badge the other way. There's a moment that strikes out to me. The second moment in that movie that struck out to me was Tony Leung. He's a policeman sent into the gang, all alone, frightened, in a sea of crime. But he's always assured by his agent and handler, who tells him, don't worry, the police will recognize you for your work, we will give you the security. Any moment you want to pull out, we'll pull you out. And you know what happens? That agent dies. And Tony Leung is surrounded by just darkness, and he's unsure of whether he can ever come back into the police world. Today, I want to give an altar call. If you forgot everything I said, the most important thing to be different is to know who you worship. Who do you worship, and who are you? The first group of people, with all eyes closed and all heads bowed, maybe you are like Andy Lau. The phone call of the mafia boss, the phone call of the world comes in, and you are swayed. And in that moment, you turn over your identification as a Christian down. In that moment, you forget everything. In that moment, King Nebuchadnezzar has won. You have let the identity of the world change you. You have let the diet of the world change you. In that moment where you click the wrong website, just this moment, I'm not a disciple of Christ anymore. Flip over the badge. I want to pray for you. In that moment, when you pick up that cigarette, in that moment, when you decide to enter into gossip, in that moment, when you paint yourself, I want to pray for you. Right? So later on, I'll give an altar call and then you just raise your hand. The second group of people, You have been thriving as a Christian in your school. But the recent spate of events, Ravi Zacharias, thirst, suddenly shakes your faith. It's no longer popular to be a Christian. It's no longer something that society values anymore. Your Christian friends no longer want to speak to you about your faith. Suddenly you are left very alone in your school. Right, maybe some of you are in army, everywhere, vulgarities, lust rules, right? Bullying exists, right? And other things are glorified. Self-harm, body image, addiction to gaming. And you are there and you have not fallen. I also want to pray for you. You are not alone. Just because your agent and handler has died and you have lost your way back, I want to tell you guys, Daniel lost all of his tangible physical things that linked him to his faith. What defined him was not the temple in Jerusalem. Amen? What defined him was that he worshipped God no matter where he was. So for those of you who identify as the one when the world calls, you compromise. I want you to raise your hand. All eyes closed, all heads bowed. I want you to raise your hand. Right? I want to pray for you. Yeah, I see your hand. I see your hand. Please keep your hand high and lifted up. Right? Because you want that change of identity. You want to be a permanent disciple of Christ. Father, we want to pray for all of the hands that you see in the room, Lord. It is a cry for help. It is a desire, Lord, to not turn the badge over, but to put the phone down. When the world comes calling, Lord, they will put their phone down. They will magnify, Lord, who you are. They will turn over a new leaf. And their identity will be followers of Christ. Now, for the second group of people, you can put your hands down. For the second group of people, I want to pray for you. If you feel alone, you have not fallen to the world, and you are trying very hard to be a Christian, but everywhere temptations and darkness surrounds you, like Daniel in the Bible, I want you to raise your hand because I want to pray for you. Right? I want to pray for you. Thank you for that hand. I see it anymore. I see that hand. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Up there, I see. Thank you. I see that hand down here as well. Father, Lord, you send your disciples into the world and you said that you prayed for their protection. Lord, today we pray for protection for my brothers and sisters, Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized us except what is common to man, but God always provides a way out. Lord, today you will provide a way out. Lord, today they will be different. They will make a stand. Lord, Father, to be different from all the other people. Lord, they will be disciples. Lord, they are not defined by the culture that is around them. But Lord, with today's sermon and next week's sermon and Pastor Titus's last sermon, Lord, they will be a light shining in the darkness. They will not be overcome. They will not be overwhelmed. Lord, Father, and they will always have this in their hearts that you said, take heart, I have overcome the world. Let us open our eyes. This is a call for everyone, right? The call today is to be different from the world. There are many causes in the world today. There are many causes. But a very unpopular cause is to leave everything behind and be a disciple. You have heard, and I believe there's a momentum in our youth sermons. We have talked about worship. We've talked about evangelism. We've talked about worship. We've talked about fellowship. We've talked about many things. But today, it all comes together. Will you be different? Because a disciple is different from the rest of the world. And I'm going to get those of you who believe that you want to be, to stand up. To stand up. It will take courage. Stand up in the midst of your cell when maybe, who knows, right? Maybe no one in your cell dares to stand up. For you to stand up. If you heard this sermon, and I pray that you don't hear my voice, I pray that God is speaking to you, that you will stand. So at a count of three, we will stand and then we'll close in prayer and we'll go right into worship. Right? 1, 2, 3. Right, if you want to be a disciple, you stand up. Stand up for your faith today. Stand up because you want to be accounted for. Stand up because you believe that this is worth dying for. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and every disciple, Luke chapter 9 verse 23, had to carry their cross. They were ready for death at any moment. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12, if I remember correctly, says, and anyone who wants to lead a godly life must expect persecution. And that is why there is a fellowship here. We are defined by this. Praise God. Father, shall we all lift our hands? Father, we come before you. I tried my best to not make this a rah-rah thing, Lord. But in your eyes, you see the hands that are lifted, Lord, before you. You see the desire to stand for a cause bigger than themselves. No longer do they want to pursue their own experiences. No longer do they want to delve into luxury and comfort, buying the next Nike shoe that comes out, buying the next thing that comes out, materialism that dilutes their faith. No longer do they want to go into gossip, to fit into the world. Today they say, count me out of that. Count me in to the fellowship of the citizens of heaven. Count me in to the cause of the Lord, to be different, to be a disciple of Christ. Lord, today you see the hands, Lord. Will you inspire us, Lord? Lord, will you stir our hearts? Because this world is so dark and Christianity is becoming more and more dilute in this world of apostasy. Lord, that you are calling a Daniel generation forth. A Daniel generation that will not submit to the world, but will only submit to you. A Daniel generation, Lord, they will preserve your rules, the things that are of your heart, reaching out. Lord, may you be magnified in everything. May you be magnified. Lord, I pray that you protect all of us as we decide to be disciples today, even the ones in JPI back home. Lord, that they will not be counted out, Lord Father, but all of us standing up have made a stand for our faith. Father, let the fire of sonship consume this generation. Let your fire bring desolation to every idol in their hearts. Raise to the ground the false securities and strongholds of the comforts of the world. Let us be children of the world no more, but be transformed into children of promise, children of God. Let us rise as sons with the fire of your consuming love engraved on our hearts, your name seared on our foreheads. We will carry your holiness with honor, purity without shame or doubt. Set us free to rise in confidence, to claim the high calling to be known as yours and live as yours. Give us the single-mindedness to pursue your will like Jesus did, to know and trust you like he did. Let us become ways to your heart for others, becoming a proclaimer of your truth. Bring us of hope of life with the testimony of our very lives. Brand us, mark us with a fire that cannot be quenched, with a furious love that is as strong as death, jealous for your name's sake. Set your seal on our hearts, a seal on our arms. Lay hold of us as we lay hold of you. We call for fire to ignite our living sacrifices, that the world will see and be confronted to truth and cross over. Set your fire inside our souls. Will you let it burn? May the blessing of your redemptive power break forth from the redeemed brokenness of our lives to restore every sphere of society. We call forth all of us to rise with the Spirit without measure. We are firebrands of your Holy Spirit, ready arrows in your quiver, warriors trained in your ways, oaks of righteousness for your glory, like in Isaiah 61, children in your bosom. Prepare and preserve us for your name's sake. Father, release us to take this world at this hour. We won't bow to idols. We'll stand strong and worship you. And if it puts us in the fire, we will rejoice because you are there too. We won't be formed by feelings. We hold fast to what is true. If the cross brings transformation, then we'll be crucified with you. Because death is the doorway into resurrection life. And if we join you in your suffering, then we'll join when you rise. And when you return in glory with all the angels and the saints, we as citizens of heaven, our hearts will still be singing. Our songs will remain the same. Lord, Christ be magnified in our lives. Lord, today many of us stood up today. Lord, we await for you to speak. Daniel did not require a sermon to mobilize him. You spoke to him the very next moment. Lord, will you speak to us even as we decide to be different today? And all God's people say, Amen.